good 4th of July or Independence Day. How many remember the Independence Day you had in your life when you knelt at an altar of prayer and received Jesus Christ? Your independence, and you were set free from the bondage of sin. Praise God. Thank God for that privilege we have to be able to come to the throne of God through the Lord Jesus Christ and have forgiveness of our sins. You know, Timothy talks in the 3rd chapter in 2 Timothy. It talks about perilous times. And I believe, you know, down through time, people interpreted that for the era or time of their lives or when they were living. Different times. And I was thinking, I think we're in perilous times right now. Times where the word is being preached over the air, over the television. You go on Facebook, you see a lot of things on there about the Lord. But yet, with all the knowledge that we have, with all the knowledge that's going out of the Word of God and the power of God, we still see people turning away from God. We look at our churches. We look here this morning. You know, I'm going to say this, and you get upset with me, that's all right. I've had people upset with me before. But to some people, the 4th of July is more important than being in church. I'm telling you, in the time that we're living, we need to be in church. We need the power of God in our lives. We need to hear the Word, because that's what's important. I want to, before I go into my message and pray over the message, I want to ask Bob a question. How's Gail doing? There's a very much of a need there. There's still presence of the cancer. And we need to pray. How many, I'm talking about Gail. You know Jeff that used to come to church here, and Jeff that works with him, I guess, handing out food. And they used to come to church here. And they're both going through trying time because he's not able to get in to see her because of the virus. And she had to go through this surgery. Can we all just bow our heads and say a prayer? Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Not that we might be, not that we could be, but that we were healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. On that day that your son, Jesus, hung upon that cross, he not only took our sins, but he took our healing for us, Father. I come to you in the name of Jesus for Gail right now. I pray, God, right there in that hospital, that, Father, you reach your hand down and you touch her. You touch her that she knows she's been touched and that the power of healing will flow through her, over her and around her. And she will be healed of this. The doctors have done all they can do. And I just pray, God, because you can do more than any of them. I pray for Jeff during this time. I know he must be anxious at times and just wants to be there. But, God, I pray, oh, God, you give him peace. Give him peace right now through this situation. And I come to you in the name of your son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name I ask it. Amen. As I said, we're living in perilous times. Times that we look around and where's our hope? We can't hope in the government, because as we see in a lot of governments, in states, they're allowing this stuff to go on. They're allowing the rioting and all that to go on. So where's our hope lie? My hope and your hope lies in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our hope. I've had people tell me, young people tell me, well, I don't want to go up and be with the Lord yet. I want to get married and have babies and all that. And well, you know what? You don't have a say in it. There's a lot of things, Brother Tony, I'd like to do. But if the Lord comes, I'm not going to say, Lord, now just a minute. Can I go ahead and do this before I go up? No, I'm telling you. We need to focus upon the Lord, focus upon His Word, and allow Him to do what He's going to do. But there's one thing we can do. We can pray. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, I want to go there as you're turning there. I got a lot of scripture I'm going to be reading this morning. So hang with me and get on my coattail and hang on. In the 7th chapter, it starts, and I'm going to pray. Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. I don't ask for my words to come forth, Father, or my thoughts, but I ask for yours. I ask for the Holy Spirit to anoint your word and anoint me as your messenger. But anoint the hearts of those that are here to receive what you have for them this morning. I give you praise and I give you honor in Jesus' name. Amen. The church said, it says the first verse, says when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Stop and think about that. It said when Solomon built the church, and when Solomon had finished praying, the fire came down from heaven. I'm telling you, I think about Elijah on Mount Carmel. And the sacrifice was put out there, and the prophets of Baal, 800 prophets there. They did everything by cutting themselves and did everything for the fire to fall, for the sacrifice that they had put on the altar to be consumed. And our prophet just laughed, wanted to know where their God was. Put his on, and he soaked it down with more water than filled the trench, filled everything. And then he prayed. God honored his prayer. The fire came down. It not only consumed the sacrifice, it consumed the altar, it consumed the water, and everything. The power of God came down. And we need the power of God in our lives. Not only do we need the power of God in our lives, He needs it in our church. We need the presence of the Holy Spirit. Solomon prayed in the temple, and the power of God came down. The fire. And fire represents the Holy Spirit. It filled that temple. And it goes on saying the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. Hallelujah. When all, oh glory to God. I'm going to tell you. I want that. I've been there. I've seen it. I know it and I felt it. When you could hardly get into the church and the power of God was so strong. You could, if it could all say, you couldn't even cut it with a knife. It was so powerful. I tell you, church, My heart is hungry for the power and the Holy Spirit, hungry for the work of the Holy Spirit. And it said, when all the children of Israel saw how the power came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord. I'm telling you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty and there is freedom. Hallelujah. You know, we look at the world and we look at our nation and we think, God, is this the end? Tony, I'm not looking for the end. I'm looking for a new beginning. Hallelujah. I'm looking for a new beginning. Whether it be on earth or whether it be in heaven, but praise God, glory to God, I'm looking for a new beginning. He said, the children bowed down. Why? They bowed down because the presence of the Lord had come. Without the presence of the Lord, we will not see people repenting. You see, because it's the Spirit that draws them. It's the Spirit of God that draws them to an altar of prayer to repent, convicts them of their sin. Hallelujah. I want to see it. There's many out there in this world that need Jesus Christ. Every one of those rioters need Jesus Christ. And the hard thing is to love them. But God said He so loved the world. He so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever shall believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. I think Walt, who's not here with us today, but before, when he was in the process and I was pastoring in Coolidge, he said the hard thing for him was, and he worked on death row, was to see individuals on death row that were sitting there to wait for their time to give up their lives. He had a hard time believing how they could receive Christ and be saved after what they'd done. I can understand why that would be hard. But let me tell you, God loves every one of them. And I have a hard time. I'm no different than anybody else. I have a hard time showing love for them after what they're doing and destroying businesses and people's lives. But God says, love them. Because He loves them. Hallelujah. For it is good, for His mercy endures forever. When the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, the second time He appeared, and said to him, I have heard your prayer, and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When God hears our prayers, hallelujah, the fire will come down. When we are sincere and get into the presence of the Almighty God. I remember times we used to come into church and the altar would be filled with people praying before church. I remember times the power of God moved so strong that people's lives were changed in an instant. They didn't have to be prayed for. They just received Christ. I seen the time where people were healed just by the power of God was present in that service. Didn't have to be anointed and prayed for, even though the Word tells us to do that. But the power of God was so strong and the Spirit of God was so strong that they were healed. I remember a time when I was sitting in the church and the pastor of the church at the time, we were going to break to the fellowship hall with two sliding doors. And one of the brothers was standing in the doorway watching because she, pastor's wife, come and said, would you all pray for me? She said, I just really don't feel good. I need prayer. And you know, that was the day, some of you women remember, when they pinned their hair all up with bobby pins and all that. She said, would you pray for me? And the pastor he was the pastor, and he said, "Yes, hon, we'll pray." He said, "Brother Richie, will you come over?" There was another one there, Brother Smith. He said, "Would you all come over and let's just lay hands on her and pray for her?" We all went over and we laid hands on her and started praying for her. Oh, the Holy Spirit became present. The power of God fell. I don't know, but I ended up in the back of the church. I just don't know how I got there. The other brother ended up on the platform. And the pastor ended up laying prostrate over the top of folding chairs. And the brother standing in the doorway there said, "All I seen was a bolt of lightning come down through the door, through the roof and hit on her head." And he said, "Her hair flew, bobby pins flew all over the place." I'm telling you, church, it's real. It's real. The world right now wants to tell you it's not real. But it is real. The Holy Spirit, He is real. And there is power in Christ Jesus. Just calling His name, there is power. I'm going to tell you, I would like to have been in that temple, Tony. It said the priest couldn't enter in. Hallelujah. I've heard people say that was for back then. Hallelujah. It's for today. It's for you and I. In the upper room in Acts, second chapter. 120 were in the upper room. And they prayed. Some of them didn't know why they were there. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they knew the promise of Jesus saying, "I'll send a comforter. I must go. And I'll send a comforter." Hallelujah. They were in that upper room. And they were praying. They prayed for 10 days. We can't pray for 10 minutes. And after 10 minutes, we get up and we say, "God, you didn't do nothing." And God said, "You didn't do nothing neither." It's time that we spend time in prayer. We're waiting for God to come and clean this nation, when God's waiting for us to get on our knees and repent and come back to Him and allow the Holy Spirit to fall like fire in our lives and in our presence and services. Praise the Lord. We heard this scripture many times. It says, when I shut up heaven and there's no rain, then God's shutting out heaven for this nation right now. There's no rain. Or command the locusts to devour the land. Did you see in Africa where the locusts are swarming over Africa? They showed pictures of individuals standing there and the locusts surrounding them and swarming. And they said, this is the second time it's happened now, because this is not the old folks that went on. This is the new locusts that have been bred and coming through again to devour the land or send pestilence among my people. And here's what he says. We have pestilence going on. We have problems going on. We're living in rough times. But he said, if my people who are called by my name, are you called by His name? Are you a Christian? Are you called by His name? He said, will humble themselves. And pray and seek. I want you to see something. He not only says pray. See, you know, we can get down and pray. Amen? I can get down and say a bunch of words. And pray. But do I really seek the presence of the Lord at that time? Am I really seeking to walk in to the Holy of Holies, Tony, and walk into His presence and be with Him? It says, my face will turn from their wicked ways, and I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. When I was studying this, and I've never kind of probably realized this, but it said, I will forgive their sin. There are two things here. Just the same as the cross of Calvary. What did He do? He forgave us of our sins and He healed us. But here it says, and heal their land. It's the same thing. God wants to heal our land. He wants to heal this country. He wants to heal this nation. But He wants us to come to Him. We're His children. He wants us to come to Him. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. See, He's saying there, and when He hears prayer in this place, He's going to be attentive to it. He's going to listen. He's going to hear. Oh, hallelujah. That should excite you. That excites you. I want to see the team when the message is being preached, the people decide to come and pray. Say, I got to get up there and pray. I got to get up and get in the presence of the Lord. Do you know that I don't have to preach everything I got up here? You may think I'm preaching the whole Bible, but I don't have to preach it all. The Holy Spirit can do more in this service than me standing up here preaching the Word. I've seen God do more through the Holy Spirit, changing lives, healing the sick, just in the matter of getting in the presence of God. Getting in His presence. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, help me. Help my back too, Father, while You're at it. Second Corinthians 6 and 16 says, and what agreement has a temple of God with idols? In other words, get the things. And I like to look at it this way. Get the idols out of my life, which it says, I am the temple of the living God. Get the idols out of my life. It says, for you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Remember what I just read? It said, if my people, that goes for us today too. We are His people. If my people would repent, if my people will humble themselves. I want to talk a little bit about the Tower of Babel. I'm not going to get into that. You know, I don't want to keep you here till 1 o'clock, but Tower of Babel, I looked at it a different way this last week or two. We know the Tower of Babel was. You know, you ever heard that term babbling idiot? That's where it comes from. Babel. I looked at it, read it, and God said, you know, what a basic guy. Can I paraphrase this? He said, they're getting too big for their britches down there. They got one language. They're all working together and they're going to try to build a tower to heaven. He says, we're going to go down there and we're going to confuse their languages that they cannot go together. Now I got a point here. I can look at it and say, God confused their language. But what God was really saying was they're united. They're united in one cause. They're united in one spirit. They're united in speaking the same thing. But what they are thinking is contrary to what they need to be doing with it. They're trying to reach heaven and become more powerful than we are. I paraphrase that. You can read it for yourselves. But I look at it as God is calling, saying, the thought that comes to me is, what we can do in unity. What we can do when we speak the same language. What we can do when we pray the same way. Am I making sense? What we can do is we gather together. God's saying, when I looked at the entire Bible, I was saying, God's saying, they're becoming united. And when we start to pray together, start to praying for God to intercede in this nation, to intercede in our lives, to intercede in our church. When we start praying in unity for those things and coming into His presence, God is going to work miracles. Hallelujah. I titled this message, Prayer, Fire, and Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols. However you were led, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except how? By the Holy Spirit. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. For it's more profitable for you that one of the members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Now you stop and think about that. First we've got to pray the fire down, then we've got to start allowing the Spirit of God to work in our lives. He says, don't be ignorant of the Spirit. In Matthew 5:30, it says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If that was true today, there'd be a lot of people running around with one hand. For it is more profitable for the one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. Romans 12:5 said, so we being many are one body. Christ and individual members of one another. What I'm talking about is praying together and being together spiritually in the body of Christ. He says we are one body. Sometimes we cannot visualize that we are one body. And we are the body of Christ, the church which He is the head of. That's who we are. We're one body. We cannot function individually. In 1 Corinthians 12:12, it says, in one body, for as the one body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. It's telling us that we are one body. We need to come together. I hope I'm making sense this morning. Help me, Lord. We need to come together as one body in prayer for the same thing. Spiritually walking and wanting to walk into the Holy of Holies and into the presence of the Almighty God. Have you ever really been in the presence of the Almighty God? Have you ever been slain in the power? I'm telling you, what an experience that is. To have the power of God overcome you. That you can't even stand up. The scripture talks about being drunk in the Spirit. I remember one time preaching, the power of God moved into church. I was so drunk in the Spirit, I was on the floor behind the pulpit, and I tried to get up and I rolled from one side to the other side. Tony, I couldn't get up. The power of God was so strong. I've seen the power of God so strong in the service that people, when they left, staggering to go to the car. The power of God. We say, well, that's not for today. Church, it is for today. It is for today. It's up to you and to me as individuals to seek the presence of God. It only takes one person to obey the Holy Spirit in a service. I've seen where one person would be obedient to the Lord and the Spirit of God would just move in that service. And I liked that because I didn't have to preach and get tired. God just took over. We're hoping for God to come down and take care of the problem. And I'm hoping for that. But I know I need to pray. I need to seek the face of God. If you have anything when you leave out of here this morning, say, all he harped about was praying and seeking the face of God and the fire of God in my life. God, you all had a... I look over this congregation and all of you have had a kindle, a burning. As I was told by a Mormon one time, I said, how do I know? I took the Mormon's lessons. Oh, it's exciting. I took the Mormon's lessons because I was looking for a church. I was looking for something. They come to the house and gave me the lessons. And I said, how do you know if it's the Lord? It's because you got a burning in your bosom. A burning in my bosom. I don't know what that was, but all right. I guess I didn't have it because I didn't have a burning in my bosom. But I sure enough had a burning in my bosom when I knelt at a coffee table in my home and received Jesus Christ into my life. Man, from that point on, a few weeks later, the pastor seen me after church. He said, Brother Richie, I want to talk to you. You know when a preacher comes up to you and says, I want to talk to you, they go, oh, what I've done. You know when you're like a little kid. He said to me, he said, you received Jesus Christ. I said, how do you know, Brother Martin? He says, I can see it in you. I can see it in you. I can see Christ in your life. You have changed. Holy Spirit will change you. He'll change your life. You know, it goes on in 1 Corinthians 12 chapter. Said he don't want us to be ignorant of the gifts. Some people have been ignorant. They have tried to misuse the gifts. They had to use the gifts on their own. That's not going to happen. It takes the Holy Spirit. We were all baptized into one body, whether we're Jews or whether we're Greeks. Teachers are workers of miracles. You know, they have a fivefold ministry in the body of Christ. It's the pastor, apostle, prophet. Yeah, let me remember now. Pastor, prophet. Yes. Thank you all for helping me preach. The fivefold ministry, if you read it, it tells you the fivefold ministry is not to be, look who I am or what I am. The fivefold ministry is to do one thing. It's to edify and strengthen the church and bring the church into the stature of Jesus Christ. That's what the scripture says. It's what the fivefold ministry is. Not for glory, for finances, for money. It's not for that in recognition. And we have that. It's in our churches. We have pastors. Sometimes a pastor holds two hats. They're a pastor and a teacher. And I'm talking about spiritually. You know, we got a lot of members, a lot of people that are once came to this church. And they're out there in the world. I told you and shared with you that this reminds me of praying down the fire. I see what it can do and what it did for Elijah on Mount Carmel. I see what happened to Solomon when he prayed. I've seen what happened in the upper room in Acts when they come together and prayed. We need to pray more now than we ever prayed. I want to be closing with what Joel said in Joel 2:28. It said, it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old man shall dream dreams. Your young man shall see visions. And Acts 2:17 says, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young man shall see visions. Your old man shall dream dreams. Both Old and New Testament tells us in the last days. Has that happened? Some say it's already happened. I personally don't believe it's already happened. I believe with what's going on right now, where I see young groups, youth, college students meeting and being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think there's a movement amongst our young that we cannot see, that God is working. And I'm praying that they will yield. You need to pray that they will yield to the Spirit of God and come in obedience. Well, we see the ones that are putting down our country and rioting and all that. But what about the others that are not? Hallelujah. I believe there's coming a time that we're going to see a mighty move of God before the end comes. That doesn't mean things around us is going to change. Are you hearing me? God can move in the middle of all that's going on. And I believe He is moving. We cannot see it. But He's moving. He's doing what has to be done. God's bringing the church to the time of the rapture. And He's bringing this nation in Israel to fulfill prophecy, what's been prophesied. He's bringing the whole world to that point. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to see a move of God. God didn't tell us to stop. He said, stop and watch and look and listen. He didn't tell me to get out in the middle of the street, Bob. Put my hands in the shade of the sun and look for the coming of Jesus. What he meant by that was I need to keep praying, keep seeking His face, keep moving forward, and keep doing what the Word tells me to do. Fulfill what God says. Fulfill it. God loves you. How many of you know that? I want my wife to come up. As she comes, something very funny in our ministry, when her and I started out, she'd come up to play and be there, and before I could ask her, say what I wanted her to play, she'd be playing it. God works in mysterious ways, because you know, it's hard to read my mind. And she'll tell you that. Amen? She just gave me that look. You know that look? Men, do you know that look? Will you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. Yes, He's risen from the dead. And He is Lord. Every knee shall bow. Yes. Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, is he your Lord this morning? Just open your heart to him. Hallelujah. Open your heart. Hallelujah. Praise his name. Glory to God. Father, I give you praise and glory and honor. I thank you, God, for the privilege we have to be here this morning, to gather together, because, Lord, I know that there'll never be another day like this where we'll have the same people or whatever's happening. Every service is different and every time is different in your presence. And, Lord, I pray, oh God, this morning for our pastor and for Edith. I pray, oh God, for a safe trip home. Protect him from any virus or anything out there, Lord. And I pray for those that are not here with us today. I pray, oh God, that you quicken their spirit. Quicken their spirit and draw them out. If they are sick, if there's something going on in their lives, I pray for the healing power of Jesus Christ to reach down upon them, to touch them, to minister to them. Father, they quicken their spirit and they heal their bodies. I think of John Peter when they're going to the temple, and Peter and John, and they said, "What I have I give unto you." To the lame man, reach his head, rise and walk in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. I pray, oh God, hallelujah, that you reach down and touch those that are sick in body. Lift them up. I take authority right now against the adversary, against this virus sweeping over our land. I pray, oh God, for your holy angels to come and protect your people and protect your churches. I pray for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit to bring revival throughout this land. To bring revival, Father, in every church, every heart, every person, every preacher. To God, to let us rise up and stand upon our own two feet with the prayer and the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. I pray, oh God, that we will touch lives of those out there that are in rioting and protesting in that. Let your Holy Spirit move through the body of Christ. Bring the body of Christ back to where you want it to be. Bring our government back to you, Father. I pray. I pray for our presidents, and I pray for the vice president. I pray, God, for wisdom and knowledge to be instilled in their lives, to make right decisions and to say the right thing, Father. I pray for a mighty move of your Holy Spirit to fall upon us. I pray for a mighty move of your Spirit, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I ask it, Father. Amen and amen. And the church said, amen.